जय विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राज राजाय स्तोत्र सदा श्री श्रीमान अभय शरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदन श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की अनंतमूरी वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहोद श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री द्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायपुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंद ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरियस ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्रील प्रभुपाद नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूदले श्रीमले भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी निधि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशकारिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितं भगवतं नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन कृतिदं पुराणमुनीनां मध्ये महाभारतं अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्बत्वा मनसंददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तुते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दाय नमत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीप प्रपन्नवारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकवाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दना पार्थो वत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेव सुदं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोल्पला शैलग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुल अशोधामा विकर्ण होरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोतीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तक केशव पाराशर्यवजसरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटं नानाख्यानकेसरं हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितं लोकैः सज्जनशल्पदैरहरः पिबीयमानं मुदा भूयाद्भारतपङ्कजकलिमलप्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यं ब्रह्म वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दिव्यैस्तवैर्वेदैः साङ्गपदैः क्रमोपनिषदैर्गायन्तियं समगाहं ज्ञानावस्थितद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्य अन्तं न विदसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द Krishna talked about various things like jnanam, karmam, and dhridhi, then sukham. All these things under three modes, how they work. He has explained that how it works under three modes. All these different things, jnanam, karmam, sukham, dhridhi, various things he has spoken. And then he said that Varnashrama Dharmam is also based on the three modes. Varnashrama Dharmam also works based on the three modes. And after saying that, Krishna said how Varnashrama Dharmam leads a person towards liberation. He explained that in those two verses, which we have discussed in the last week. That is the 45th and 46th verses. That's why they are very important verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Sve sve karmani abhirata samsiddhim lebhade nara sokarma nirata siddhim yada vindadi tal shrunu. He said how through karmam, or Varnashrama Dharma means engaging in different karmams, in the based on Varnam. So how that leads to liberation, and he talked about that in the next verse. Yada pravartir bhudanam yena sarvamidam tadam sukarmana abhitam abhyarcha siddhim vindadi manava. So Krishna's point is that all living entities have come from Paramatma. We are not different from him. And it is due to his presence in everyone that different types of karma is executed by different types of people. And different people belong to different varnam. When they engage in karma, it becomes bhakti. This is the way it works. And these two verses are so important in the 18th chapter. But most of the time, the difficulty is to implement that in life. Theoretically, it sounds good. It's easy to understand also. But implementing that in life is the difficult part. Krishna says, so karmanasam abhyarcha siddhim vindadi manava. That when you engage your karma as becomes a bhakti, then that's how karma becomes bhakti. Through karma you develop bhakti, Krishna is saying. So karmanam tam abhyarcha siddhim vindadi manava. And he will reach that state. It says also, sarvamidam jagattadam vyaptam sukarmana purvoktena prativarnam tam isharam abhyarcha pujayitva aradhya kevalam jnananishta yoga lakshanam siddhim vindadi manavo manisha yadevam tada. What Krishna is saying here is that if karma is executed in this way, it leads to chitta shuddhi. And when there is chitta shuddhi, then when you hear shastram, it will have its effect, impact on a person. When there is no chitta shuddhi, whatever shastram is spoken, it will be just like in the air. Nothing will have its effect inside. So that is why chitta shuddhi is caused by this. Yada pravartir bhudanam yena sarvamidam tadam sukarmanatam abhyarcha siddhim vindadi manava. So, and that will lead into chitta shuddhi, and then this knowledge of the self will be effective. It will work for that person. So actually you can see, we were discussing same in the Bhagavatam also in the last Sunday, that the knowledge of the self, that I am not this body, and to break away from that identity requires knowledge. Only through vidya, avidya will go. But in order that knowledge to get inside, that is where all the block is. Because of our impurities in the heart, we have ragadvesham, kamakrotham, labhamoham, madhumalsaryam, kartrutva bhoktrutvam, all kinds of things. They are all blockage in the process of self-realization. So Krishna's point is that without this knowledge, it's not going to work. Without this knowledge becoming our, that should drive us, that has to get goes inside, not intellectual level, in the realization level, it has to happen. And that realization won't happen till there is chitta shuddhi. So therefore bhakti is required. And Krishna's point is that if through jnana margam is possible for those who have that chitta shuddhi, for them it will work. That's why you will find very few people pursuing jnana margam. It's because it's so only for very fortunate souls who have probably executed bhakti in previous life. They come in this life with full steam ahead in the jnana margam. They go straight into jnana margam and they go without any non-stop. It goes. They are able to cultivate, they are able to realize it, everything very quickly here. But for others who haven't got that state of consciousness, there's only one way left, bhakti. Through bhakti, surrendering to Krishna and praying to Krishna, begging to Krishna, we understand this knowledge, but unless you have shown mercy, it's not going to work for us. So that is where bhakti comes, that surrender and sharanagati and samarpanam. these two things can lead that into that. So that is what we were discussing last Sunday. So you saw that great personalities like Dr. Kishordas Babaji and all, they went and stayed in the toilet and chanted to get this purity inside, right? So what it is that whatever they are doing, right, Siddhim Vindadi Manava is saying that how to make it Siddhi, right? We have to realize that whatever we are, we can't change that. The way we are, we can't change that overnight. And everybody is different, right? Samskaram is different, karmam is different, vasanas are different, prarabdham is different, so and different modes of nature as well in different people, right? How to make that divine, whatever we have, in whatever situation we are, right? That process is called yogam. We are all in different situations individually. And to change everyone into divine, that process is called yogam, right? And if we have that subtle intelligence, how to do that, it is possible to do that here itself. And that's what these two verses are basically talking about. How to make the life a yogam, karmam, what is coming through us, right? And that is why this is what Krishna is saying here. In a most subtle way, he has put that in those two verses. If you analyze that verse, you will see the impact of that on our life. That's what matters more. Our life is what Krishna is saying. Should be like this, he said. Yada pravrtir bodhanam yena sarvam idam tadam sukarmanatham abhyarcha siddhim vindadi manava. Basically, what he is saying that if you have that sushma buddhi, the very subtle intelligence that's required, if you have that, right here itself, you can become jnani. Jnananishtha is possible, but this is a difficult thing, and because, as I said, that if you had that bhakti samskaram inside sufficiently, and you had a purified heart, then only it will work. Otherwise it is difficult. Straight away from the street when we come, to take it on board is difficult. So, therefore, he is saying that Sokarma Naradam Siddhim Yada Vindadi Talshrunu. Then he said, Sokarmanatham Abhyarcha Siddhim Vindadi Manava. The karmam that is coming through this body and the mind has to change us through purification. That karmam has to be purified. By that, we will get purified. And then this knowledge will flow through him without any difficulty. Otherwise, this knowledge won't enter inside. This is the difficulty, yeah? So, and this is the most subtle side of that that verse, right? Look at the next verse, what he says for that. And when you read the next verse, you will understand how important this verse is, yeah? Shrayan so dharmo vikuna so paradharmal sonushnidal sobhava niyadam karmam kurvannatmodi kilbisham. Krishna is saying, if you remain what you are, that's the best thing. Rather than trying to become somebody else, don't do that, he says. Remain as you are, because Krishna has put us in a particular position, and you don't have to think that I have to become somebody else. You remain as you are, he says, right? Because our pragriti, that is our swadharmam. Pragriti will dictate the swadharmam, right? And suppose if something is not in my pragriti, and if I try to imitate somebody else, that it will create conflict inside. If I do something which is not my pragriti, and I will try to imitate someone else, it will create conflict inside me, because it's not my pragriti, right? So sometimes you see in life, people see others, and they think, if I could become like him, which is in the material life, it's normally like that. That principle you can't bring to spiritual life. Seeing somebody is like that, so I will also become like that. It's not possible, right? If you start thinking like that, it will create problems, right? So remain as we are, whatever Krishna has put us in, right? And there is nothing wrong in that, being like that, right? And this is why that story of Paundraga Vasudev in the Bhagavatam. Remember Paundraga Vasudev's story, right? Paundraga Vasudev said, I am Krishna. And he dressed up like him, right? And all other people wound him up. They wound him. They wound him up, saying that to him, you're real Vasudeva, they told him. Actually, you're Vasudeva. And he got affected by that. And he said that the other Vasudeva, who's in Dwaraka, is only dressed up like that. Vasudeva's son, and he's wandering around, but actually you are the one, they said, right? And then what did he do? He painted himself blue all over the body, and then two extra hands he put on, and just like you do it in the drama. And then he brought a conch shell, disc, club and lotus flower, everything, right? And then he wrote a letter to Krishna. He sent a messenger to Dwaraka telling him that send over that disc back to me, because it should be here with me, not with you, right? And it's all politics behind it. What happened, how it's developed like that, was all politics behind it, right? This king, Paundrava Vasudev, right? There were a group of them, Paundrava Vasudev, Salva, Dandavatra, Shishubala, Jarasandha. They were all a gang together, different kings and different kingdoms, right? And Jarasandha was the most powerful one of all of them, right? And he's the chief, right? At that time, in Bharatavarsham, he was the most powerful king, Magadha. Magadha was the kingdom, I think it was in Bihar, that Magadha was the great powerful kingdom at that time. And they were all just like, sidekicks of Jarasandha. All these people, they were his people, most of them. Jarasandha said they will listen. That's how it was, right? So they all went to Rukmini's marriage, Rukmini Swayambaram, right? And they decided that if Krishna comes to steal Rukmini, kidnap Rukmini, they all decided to gang up together and fight. That was all. They knew that this could happen, right? The decision was to marry Rukmini to Shishubala. And Jarasandha knows Krishna very well, right? Therefore, he said, we should organize ourselves very well, because how Krishna will work, we don't know how Krishna will plan things, right? And they will talk about Krishna, cowherd boy. That's how they will say. The cowherd boy can come and he could do something, some miracle things. He will come with the army and fight, he said. So they organized a big army themselves, all these together. Shishubala, Dandavatra, Paundraga Vasudev, King of Kashi, Jarasandha, main one, together, right? So Rukmini know the situation well, what is going on, because she is there, right in the middle of that. It is centered around her. So she is the princess in the royal family, and everything what was happening in the palace is known to her. It was all reported back to her. She knew that these people are like this, and she wasn't happy to marry Shishubala. But Rukmini has decided, her brother. Her father Bhishmaga had no influence on the decision, because this son Rukmini has taken over control and he won't listen to anybody, and he was forcing it on her. So at that time, therefore Rukmini was expecting trouble, and she has returned this letter to Krishna, which is famous in the Bhagavad, Rukmini's message, right? And she thought about that, where is the best place where there will be little least problems. And then she felt that there will be minimum security when she is in the temple, Devi temple, where she was going to visit Shri Parvati's temple there. So she wrote this letter that I'm going to see Gauri, Sri Parvati at the temple. That will be the right place for you to come and take me away from here. Rukmini wrote to Krishna in the message, right? And at that time I won't have much of bodyguards with me, right? And because it's the temple, you won't be able to bring weapons inside. You have to stay outside, right? So she wrote, this is the best place for kidnapping me, right? And even though she wrote this, Jarasandha told everyone that we have to be very alert, that when Krishna will strike, we don't know if he comes, right? And so Shishupala was there, Jarasandha was there, and this Paundraga Vasudeva was also there. And the king of Kashi, his friend, also there, right? So Rukmini, looking very beautiful, well-dressed and looking very beautiful, she walked out and got down from the... walked all the way, because while going to the temple, they don't use chariots or anything. You're not allowed to use vehicles when you go to the temple. Theoretically, it is like that. But now you go in helicopter to the temples nowadays. But this is what everything has changed now. You see, Vidura wandered around everywhere for 36 years on the foot. Is it not? But he didn't do that, because pilgrimage is effective only when you follow all the rules related to that. So Rukmini followed that strictly. From the palace, she walked all the way to the temple. Didn't use any vehicle. She could have got a palanquin or something, because she's a princess, but she wouldn't use all that. That humility inside while going to the temple. So so she came, walked to the temple and went into the temple, right? And everybody was congratulating Shishupala because he's going to be the bridegroom, isn't it? Right. And it's going to happen very soon, the marriage, right? So they congratulated him, and Rukmini went inside the temple, and you know what happened there inside the temple. Namaste Tambige Vishnam Sasandhani Yudam Shivam Bhuyan Padir Me Bhagavan Krishnastha Dhanimodadam. Her prayers to Sri Parvati at that time. And asking blessings, and the other Brahmana women who were there, they have blessed her and given her prasadam, garlands, everything. And she offered offerings, asked for blessings from Lord Shiva, Sri Parvati. And Jagadap Pidaro Vande Parvati Parameshwaro. They are the father and mother of the universe. And got their mercies, and from the children, Ganesh and Kartikeya both. She, Parvati's children, isn't it? So she did all that and she came out, right? And suddenly, when she got out, suddenly from nowhere, this chariot arrived with four horses driving that, right? Before anyone could know anything, Rukmini was taken away in that chariot, and the chariot left, right? Immediately there was a commotion altogether, right? And everybody wanted to fight and chase the chariot. So they ran after the chariot with their chariots and all. By then they come to know, everybody has come to know that she has been taken away suddenly. And suddenly when they went, they saw there was one person standing there with a plow in the hand. And as soon as Jarasandha saw that, it was Lord Balaram standing there, because that's his weapon, right? He was standing there. And when Jarasandha sees Balaram, he gets very depressed. So he has got this club, and he's got his bow and arrow, and he's got the sword as well in his hand. But he has got all that. When he sees the plow, he gets depressed, right? So they had a fight and then they lost it. And Paundraga Vasudev came back after the fight. They lost it, they came back. They would have lost their life, but Balaram left them go. So they came back, right? And after coming back from that fight, he has lost all enthusiasm in life. He felt so depressed, right? No energy. And he took a lot of medicines and all that to get some energy back, right? Because he's the king, isn't it? He has to be in a fit condition. So all the ministers and the chief of the army, all the leaders of the top leaders of the army, they all try to bring him, make him cheerful after this incident, right? But it's not working. It was not working, right? So one intelligent man, one of them, in the meeting they had, they said, we have to do something about this king. He can't stay depressed like this, right? So what we'll do is, we will say that he is incarnation, and we'll make a propaganda like that. And he will believe it afterwards, and then somehow or the other we'll bring him back to life, right? So they announced this, and they put posters everywhere saying that our king is an incarnation, right? And generally, people may not believe this, but if they do it, it will work. You can change people's way of thinking, right? So they made this propaganda that our king is an incarnation. Actually, he is Vasudeva, right? And then this was going on in the world outside. They were making propaganda, our king is also. And apart from that, they also arranged some people to do arati for him. You know how it works, isn't it? You can see that all the time. People doing all these sorts of things. It's a, psychology is like that. When somebody comes and brings an arati plate and start doing arati for you, what will you think? You should have something special, isn't it? That's a way to make a person very special, make him feel like that. I'm very important, and I am an incarnation. He started thinking like that. Because every day they were doing arati to him. In a plane, they bought incense, flowers, fruits, everything, and then they followed everything, you know, in the, like you do for the deities. They were doing it for him, right? And then after that, they returned some songs also glorifying him, stotra, for stuti. Yeah? So initially, he just thought this is not right. He thought initially like that. But after a few days, he started thinking, am I somebody very special? This is how you change a person. So he says to him that, I don't have my conch shell or disc or club or anything, what normally I should have. You're telling me I'm Vasudeva, I don't have that, he said. So, they told him that we have arranged all that, it is coming, he said. We had consulted this with astrologers also. And the astrologers have told, actually, you are an incarnation. So gradually they injected this idea into his head, to this Pandurang Vasudeva's head, right? And he said that the astrologer has looked very detailed into your chart, and they found that you are actually Mahavishnu himself, right? And this Krishna in Dwaraka is a fraud. They told him like that, right? And we have to make these arrangements to bring that Kaustubham and Srivalsam. They are the two things which are difficult by them. Kaustubham is expensive, Srivalsam is a mark on the chest. So they made a mark on his chest with a lot of difficulty. And Kaustubham and Sudarshanam will come from Dwaraka. They said like that, right? And then they brought peacock feather they could buy. Yellow garments also not a problem. Crown also they had, like Krishna had, right? But it is, the main problem was this disc, Sudarshanam, and Kaustubham. He didn't have that, right? He said, we have sent a message to Dwaraka to bring it back. So Krishna got the message there, and then he came. He came, he said, I'm coming to see you. I'll bring them with me when I'm coming to see you, he said. And he brought them with him, right? And as soon as he came, he saw Krishna. And Vijahasa Prisho Hari, says Bhagavatam. Krishna couldn't control himself. He laughed. Krishna laughed, seeing this whole show. And Vijahasa Prisho Hari, he says. And then Krishna says, all you wanted was my disc, you can have that, he said. He threw the disc, gone. That's the end of it, right? So this is all how he dressed up. you dress up somebody like that, right? So therefore, if you are not natural, it won't work. It simply won't work. It's the same thing with Prakriti also. That's the principle in that story. To tell us, you should stay what you are. Don't try to imitate somebody and become like that. If we do that, like Paundraga Vasudev, it will happen to us also if you do that, right? So, whatever we are, even though we may not be qualified in any other way, anything higher, right, that is enough. Because if you imitate somebody else and try to become big in that way, it will be a disaster. That is what that verse is saying. Shrayan so dharmo viguna paradharma sunushtidal svabhava niyadam karmam kurvannapnodi kilbisham. So this swadharma anushtanam, right? You see, in Puranam, when you say the tattvam, they will bring it through the stories like this to make us aware of the implications of changing your dharma. This is only to teach us that don't change your dharma. Whatever your dharma is, stay in that, right? So, swadharmanushtana, so engaging in one's own dharma. In that, even though we may not be very qualified, even in executing this swadharma, and you may think that what I'm doing in my life is not doing much good to this world, right? But if you do what you have been given, Krishna has given that, it is beneficial for your spiritual progress. That is the important principle. Adhyatma Puryogadi. For the progress in spiritual path, it is beneficial. Yes, sir. For example, we will have the energy and the power to do that. Because when you are given a body, particular body, when you take birth, along with that, all these things are there. It's all because it is through that only your prarabdham will go out properly. You'll get extinguished, the prarabdham. So the energy for that is already given to us in the body, right? If you want to try to do somebody else's dharma properly, right? And there's nothing much going to come out of that. That is what he's saying, paradharmal sonushtidal, right? This is a big rule, law, right? This we have to learn by life, in living the life, right? Comparing my own svabhavam with somebody else, and start thinking that his svabhavam is good, mine is bad, this is all not a very good thing, because these are problems with my own buddhi. My buddhi is doing that. I compare myself to somebody else and thinking that he is doing better, I'm not doing well. To compare like this, because svabhavam is different in different people, right? And what Krishna is saying there is, whatever may be your svabhavam, right, and you can still become perfect. You don't have to imitate somebody to become perfect. This principle is important. He is saying that svabhava niyadam karma kurvan natnodi kilbisham. If you do the karma based on your svabhavam, kurvan natnodi kilbisham, he says you will become perfect. That is the secret behind that. Shrayan sudharmo viguna paradharmal sonishtidal svabhava niyadam karma kurvan natnodi kilbisham. These verses require a lot of thinking involved to understand it properly, right? So here, becoming perfect is more important in whichever condition we are. Say a Brahmana or a Shudra, if you take both, Brahmana should become perfect in his karmam. And if a Shudra becomes perfect in his karmam, Shudra gets liberated as well, like Brahmana gets liberated. This is the principle. It is not because he is a Shudra, he has to become a Brahmana to become liberated. Shudra also, if he is karmam, if he has followed this principle, because that is the body has given to him for that kind of work, what he is doing. But generally what people misunderstand, everybody wants to become a Brahmana. Everybody can't become a Brahmana. You will become a mockery of the whole thing. It is not like that. There were nowhere it said that Brahmana is superior to a Shudra as far as liberation is concerned. So that principle, right? So, if you understand that, because becoming perfect in where you are is the secret. In whichever situation you are in life, becoming perfect there. Doing whatever dharma, whatever karma Krishna has given us as our swadharma now, that whatever it has come as swadharma, staying in that state and able to execute swadharma perfectly, and perfectly means not talking about the results on that basis. On the spiritual side, if it is executed properly, you can become perfect, right? And it is only for that purpose in Mahabharatam, that famous story of Dharmavyadha. It is in the Bhagavatam also. Krishna has quoted Dharmavyadha, the butcher. Butcher was a self-realized soul and he was a butcher. You remember? That it is in the Akashaskandam. Krishna quotes that Dharmavyadha story, right? He was such a perfect. Can you imagine a butcher? We consider a butcher means he's gone, finished, isn't it? But no, he was a realized soul. So the story is only to get this principle across, that even a butcher in his condition, butcher is even lower than a Shudra, and even he became perfect in that. So any karma, whatever one may be given to him, he can become perfect in that state, right? So it is from that everything happens. So sodharmam is good, to do the sodharmam, right? But imitating somebody else is not the right thing. You shouldn't go in that direction. That's what he's saying there. Svabhava niyatam karma, right? According to my prakriti, my nature, engage in the karma, and then there won't be any conflicts inside. If you do the karma based on your nature, then there won't be conflicts inside, right? So, and Svabhavam's manifestation, right? If you are doing your own karma according to your svabhavam, right? According to your dharmam, according to your position where you are, then your svabhavam will come through that karma very well, right? There won't be any block in that. They give this example that the worms, some kind of worms, they survive in poison, right? And that poison does not create any problem for that worm. Worm will survive in that poison, right? If you take that worm from that poison and put it in clean water, it will die. It will die if you put that in the clean water, right? And this we have to understand, that wherever we are born and where whatever circumstances in which we were put in, right, in front of us, right, knowing within that the seed for liberation is also there. You see, whatever conditions we are born, whatever situations you are born, and whatever circumstances are around you, the seed for liberation is there in that conditions, right? There won't be any mistakes in the prakriti. These are very fundamental principles in spiritual life also to understand, but in the modern world, this is the problem, that everyone is displaced from their land of birth, place of birth, and broken up with all the surroundings where they were born. This didn't happen before. It's a modern thing, it is. New phenomenon. It didn't exist like that before. Everyone was born in a particular place, they lived there and they died there. They didn't go all around the world looking for, like the way the society is today. So, therefore, we may find it difficult to understand this principle. But Krishna is talking about, based on the proper system, how it used to be. People lived in a particular place, and within their surroundings, and within their environment, they were able to get liberated. And that was possible, right? So, but finding out Swadharma, this is talking about Vanashrama Dharma, existed then. Everyone knew they are Swadharma. And within that Swadharma, Krishna is saying, the seed of your liberation is also there, given to you, in that state where you were born and in the circumstances in which you were given the birth, right? And from there you have to start the work. And you have to correct it, everything there. And with that you will become perfect. Krishna is saying that in that verse. Shreyan Swadharmo Viguna Paradharma Sunishtidal Subhava Niyadam Karmam Kurvan Matnodi Kilbisham. Yeah. So, these are all existential principles. Yeah. Just like a snake is not affected by its poison, isn't it? It's carrying the poison all the time. It's not affected by that. And similarly, it is true with every other living entity also. Where you were given the birth originally, that's where supposed to stay there, and within that situation itself, one should be able to know how to find the way to get liberated. The seed is already there, in there, right? So what Krishna says is that how to use Swadharmam as a vehicle for liberation. As a vehicle for liberation, right? Whereas if you go and imitate somebody, and quite often what will happen is there will be psychological disturbance inside, right? We won't know that. We will not know that, right? And that's what he's saying. Sobhava niyadam karma. Ajahn Swami mentions that Shreyan prashasyatara sodharmaha. Sodharma viguna abhi idi abhi shabda drashtavya paradharmal sonishtidal subhava niyata niyatam subhavena niyatam yad uktam subhavajam iti tad eva uktam subhava niyatam iti yadha visha jadasya iva krime visham na doshakaram tatha subhava niyatam karma kurvanna apnodi kilbisham papam. So, the point is that Sobhava Niyadam Karmam Kurvano Vishajada. If it is according to Sobhavam, that Karmam, if he is executing, right, he won't have any problems. You see, you have to remember this is spoken in a society where Varnashrama Dharmam was followed and they didn't step out of it. Everyone followed that. You can't bring this now in the modern world. If you say these things, they won't be able to connect with it. You see, this is a difficulty. So first thing is, that is why we are like this, the way we are now. Neither here nor there. Everything is chaos, right? So Krishna is saying that if you do that dharmam, what for which you are not being intended to by birth, right? If you go and do somebody else's dharma, thinking that you will do better that way, that is won't help you in your spiritual life. Atma jnanam won't come. Self-realization won't happen, he said. And if you do that, it is dangerous also, he says. That's what he could say. Kurvan natnodi kilvesham. So, that's the main point here, right? That's what he has called, Sobhava Niyam Karmam, Vishajada Krimihi, he said. That's it. He says it is like that. Vishajada Se Iva Krimihi. Visham Na Doshakaram, Tatha Sobhava Niyam Karmam, Kurvan Apnodi. Visham, poison is not harmful for that particular worm, which is in the poison. It is not doing any harm for him because he is in the right place. Similarly, we are in the right place if we were we stick to our karma, dharma, whatever we have, whatever that was given, right? So, whatever destiny has given to us, therefore it is good for us to accept that, right? He will get his road for liberation in that situation itself, in that situation, right? Because if we execute sodharmam, chitta shuddhi must happen. That's the principle. If you execute sodharmam, chitta shuddhi will happen. Krishna is guaranteeing that. But because this varnashrama dharmam and this principle is not going to happen in Kali Yugam, Krishna brought Bhagavata dharmam there. So Bhagavata dharmam is more or less a substitute to this varnashrama dharmam. Because in Kali Yugam it will be like this. If you ask what is my sodharmam, I don't know what my sodharmam is. Born somewhere, educated in some other way, gone and found, did some work in some other field, which has nothing to do with my sodharmam, right? So finding out sodharmam itself is not possible in Kali. So that is how bad it is. So then the option that Krishna, that is how Bhagavata dharmam came in. Bhagavata dharmam has come from Vaidika dharmam. You must never forget that. Many of the things in Vaidika dharmam applies to Bhagavata dharmam. But in Bhagavata dharmam, what Krishna is saying is that no matter where you are, what you are doing, follow these two principles. Samarpana buddhi, sharanagati. That is a root for them. There is no other way. Because execution of sodharmam now, because we don't even know what our sodharmam is now. It has come to that, isn't it? It has come to that. All types of people doing all kinds of jobs now. And in many jobs, we don't have any liking for it. We are doing it only for the sake of money. People are doing all types of work for the sake of money. So now professions are chosen based on which will pay more than anything else, and they'll take for that kind of profession. That is not sodharmam. Sodharmam, Krishna has, this is modern lifestyle. It has created this situation. But historically, varnashrama dharmam when followed, it was different story. They knew where they belonged to. And they will live, do that particular occupation, whatever they were given. And they were born in that occupation, like a carpenter's son will do the carpentry. A smithy's sons will do the smithy work. Similarly, a priest's son will do the priestly service. And kshatriyas will do their job, administration work. In this way, there was some division in the society based on some understanding like that. But that's all gone now. And now it's a total mix-up, everything, isn't it? So the important thing to realize what Krishna is saying is, so dharmam, if you do it, there is good chance that you could get liberated. You may be a Shudra, doesn't matter. Says it's not that only Brahmana will get liberated. Shudra also will get liberated, provided you are in the Varnashrama system, engaged in that dharma, what you were born with. And in staying in that situation, you have to work through your life in your spiritual path. So he said all that, right? And because if he does that, what happens is chitta shuddhi comes to him, right? And naturally, in a natural way, sahajam, he becomes qualified for jnanam, spiritual knowledge, right? And only if you are a brahmana, you will get spiritual knowledge. That's a misunderstanding. That's not correct, right? And that is what Tukaram has done. Tukaram was spiritually elevated, right? And he says this, that because of Krishna's mercy, I was not born as a brahmana, he said. That was Krishna's mercy to me, right? Suppose I was born as a brahmana, lot of restrictions and controls would have come on me as a brahmana, right? And I would have probably got involved in all kinds of karma, what the brahmanas do, right? And I may not have reached this state like the way, because I followed my dharma, what was given to me. What was given to me. And this principle applies to all of them. Chokamala, Gaurakumbhar, there's many others like that. They all followed their dharma and they became perfect in that. This is to prove that. Yeah. So he says, now I'm doing a very small shop I was running, he said, and I got enough time to do what I wanted to do, and it has helped me, he said. So wherever you are put in by the arrangement, by Krishna's arrangement, right? Staying in that position and disciplining the body and the mind to live in that conditions and make it perfect. Staying within that, not changing the position, right? And he didn't do anything. And none of them begged for food. Tukaram says, apparently in songs, he writes this, right? If I have gone and begged for food, that is not my occupation. I'm not supposed to do that, right? They did their work. Whatever karmam they had to do, they did that and lived on that. Bhiksha is only allowed for sannyasis and brahmanas, right? Others should not beg. It's wrong, right? And others are supposed to work and live. Only brahmanas are allowed to accept charity. Why? Because they are not allowed to work. That's the reason. Because they are not allowed to work, they are allowed to accept charity. But when they accept charity, they are to be conscious that they can only accept for the very minimum for their survival in this world. So there's a lot of rules apply to that, right? And for others, they are supposed to work and live in this world, and whatever they get from that work, they should live with that. That was the principle, right? So that's why you see the next verse, what Krishna is saying there. Sahajam karma kaunteya sadosham abhi na tyajet sarvarambahi doshena dhume agni ivavrata. 48th verse, right? He says, Krishna is again stressing that point. What has come to you by birth, karmam, that karmam you should not give up. Sahajam. Sahajam karma kaunteya. Sadosham abhi na tyajet. Sarva arambahi doshena dume agni rivavrata. Sahajam. Sahajanmana eva utpannam. Sahajam. Sahajam means sahajanmana eva utpannam. Sahajam. Kim tat karma kaunteya sadosham abhi trigunatvat na tyajet. Krishna says to Arjuna, the karmam what is given to you, it is in three modes, is it not? Trigunam it is, has an effect on the karmam. Different karmam is under different modes. Sarva arambam, sarva arambaha, arabhyande idi arambaha, sarva karmani idi edat pragaranat ekejit arambaha. Sudharmaha paradharmaha chade sarvehi yasma trigunalpmagatvam atra hetuhu trigunalpmagatva doshena dhumena sahajena agni iva avrutaha. When you know in the olden days we have only firewood, isn't it? Everybody had firewood. So today people won't understand, isn't it? The new generation, if you tell them that we had wood was used in the kitchen for cooking food, right? And today we have gas and electricity and everything, right? Gas cooker, induction cooker, air fryers, all modern things have come, right? But in them days, you have firewood, right? And it is a little bit of work in the morning to get it going, that firewood. So what they used to do, sometimes the wood won't be very dry. So it will take a while to fire to catch up. So they will have a pipe-like thing through which they will blow the air. The women have to do all this in the morning, in the kitchen, to get the fire going. You blow air into it, and then it gets, fire gets, go up, isn't it? So, and once the fire gets strong, then you can stop that blowing. You can stop the blowing, right? Then it will catch up, then the fire will keep going, right? Similarly, Krishna is saying here, he says, in the beginning when you do karma, there will be some smoke. There will be some smoke, right? And that smoke is what we call this doubts about the karma. Am I doing it the right karma? And lack of proper knowledge about the karma. All these kind of problems will be. They are considered to be like the smoke. Like the smoke. So, and then we do not know how to handle that. That smoke. In our present situation also you can see this. We take up a new job, right? You'll try for some time whether it is, and then you find it very difficult, you give up that. You go and find something else, right? That's all the time people are doing that now. Continuously changing jobs and because something, and they change their profession. Teacher becomes a policeman. And I've seen devotees, teachers, they have become policemen. And then they try their policeman's job is not fitting for them. They become a plumber. And then like this, changing all kinds of professions, one way or the other. Then they do something else, right? So, so this is because why? That's what Krishna is saying here. That you will have dhumen agni nivavrata. You will have doubts, smoke, that's the smoke. Doubts about the profession, whether it suits me or not. This doubt comes when you engage in profession. Is this suitable for me? So, doubts should be there. That's what he's saying here. Dhumen agni rivavrata. Doubts is like the smoke. Whether, doubts about whether you are the right person for the job. And lack of proper knowledge also about that karma. Lack of proper knowledge. Like you can see people do different types of jobs and then they pull out from that. Then they go for something else. And that's all what he is saying here. Right? So, and in order to become free from that, it may take some time to come out of all these doubts. Right? But Krishna is saying here, where you are, that is where the secret of your karma. Where you are put in, that's where the secret of your karma, right? And you have to understand the secret of your karma in the place where you have been put in. And sahajam karma kaundeya. In other words, sahajam means that karma that you had come to you in a natural life. You see, in a natural way, in life. I know it is difficult to relate with that today in this world because nobody knows what their sahajam dharma is. Anything that brings money is fine. That is, it has come to that state, is it not? But it wasn't like that always. This is a new thing. The way it is happening now, right? So Krishna is saying here that if you have sahaja karma, if you do that, the benefit is that even if there is some problems in that, you should not leave it, right? Staying in that karma and doing that work, right? And how to change that uneasiness with the karma, that one has to learn that, how to become free from that karma, what he is doing, right? How to train yourself to be adaptable for that karma, right? So, he is saying here, sadosham api natyajed. Even if there is dosham in that, defects in that, natyajed, you should not give up, right? you are thinking that in my work there is dosham, right? In every work there is dosham, right? There is no work without dosham. And whatever karmam you do, this dosham you will find in due course of time, right? After some time you will get to know that I have got this dosham in my work, right? And if you change karmam, a new karmam if you start, it will take a while for you to get control over that karma. In other words, to become adaptable to that karma, right? So that also takes time. And Krishna is saying that sahajam karma kaundheya, that janmana eva utpannam. In other words, where you come through your varnam, where you are born, when you are born, I'm talking about varnashrama dharma. When you are born in that situation, if you stick to that karma, he says it will make life a lot easier. At that time, it was not, economic development was not the priority in that society. Economic development, this is a mad society what we are living now. There is no values, there is no principles, there is no spiritual goal, there is nothing now. Whole principle is make money and enjoy life and feeling protection from the money. This is our situation now, isn't it? The whole world is like that now, everywhere. So that is why Bhagavad Gita is becoming difficult for them to understand also. Because they are thinking they are all perfectly situated. Everybody is thinking like that. We are all perfectly situated. So, but this society, what Krishna is talking about, where there is varna dharma, is followed sahajam. He says, what has come through you through birth, take that occupation as your occupation and pursue that work, right? So, in due course of time, you will become adaptable and adjust with that karma, what you are, and what you are doing, right? And he says that in every work, there will be some problem in the beginning. But in due course of time, it will get corrected, right? Therefore, you should not give up your karmam, what you have come to you sahajam, that you should not give up, saying that there is problem in this work, and therefore I am leaving it, and going to something else. So that is the point here, saying here, that sarva arambaha arabhyande idi arambaha, sarva karmani idi edad, prakaranad ekejit arambaha, esmad, trigunalpmagatvam atra hedu, trigunalpmagatva dhoshena dhumena sahajena agni iva avrataha. Because three modes of nature is present in everything, in karmam also. We saw that before. And it is present in us as well. And therefore, these three modes of nature, due to that, there are problems in that karmam you are experiencing. Sahajasya karmana sodharmakhyasya parityagena paradharmanushtane api doshat na eva muchyade bhayavahaja paradharma na ja shakyade asheshata tektum achyena karma yada tasmat na teje ityataha. So if you give up your karmam and start doing somebody else's karmam, it is harmful, he says there. You can particularly see this in politics. If you start look at politicians, right, coming from different backgrounds, and their background will influence their political mind also. In politics is today, nowadays, democracy, isn't it? You can come from any background. If you can win the election, you are in the, you can become a prime minister or big ministers and leave that. But Swabhavam has not changed. That Swabhavam will be there. It will have a strong influence on all your outlook, making decisions, everything. Right? Therefore, what happens? He is not
in his is not, he'll have a conflict inside all the time within himself. Even if he is prime minister, doesn't matter. If he has become prime minister, he will always be in confused state inside. But then you are covering your swabhavam with all this modern jugglery, word jugglery, to use and fool the people, saying that I'm doing the right thing for you. I'm doing what the people want, he will say at the end. So anyone who is thinking he is doing things for the people, that means he cannot do the right thing then, isn't it? It's understandable. If you want to do the right thing, you have to know what the right thing is. And that can only come from a Kshatriya nature. The Kshatra Swabhavam is gone. Shudras have taken over Kshatriya. This is where the complications come. His Shudra nature will dictate from inside. Shudra will only say like this, I'm doing things for the people. Shudra will speak like that. Kshatriya will not speak like that. That's a huge difference. It makes a huge difference. Kshatriya is supposed to look after Shudra. Kshatriya knows better for the Shudra what is good for him. But if Shudra starts looking after Kshatriya, then it becomes a problem. So this whole complications with this Varnam is due to this modern way of thinking, democratic, and that's the only option now. And this problem is everywhere in the world. Everywhere this problem exists, right? So Varnam has this difficulty that Krishna's point is that if you stick to Varnam, it is beneficial for the society, for everybody. One with the Kshatriya qualities, if they are in power, they will act differently because that Kshatriya nature is in them. Whereas if you replace them with all kinds of people, all other types of people, they will have conflict within themselves, what is the right thing to do. Sometimes they'll be driven by one group in one way, they'll go along with that. And then something else happens, somebody pulls them in another direction, he will go in that direction. So this whole problem is because of this breakdown of Varna Dharma, right? And then the society goes, it goes crazy. And this will all end up in war at the end. Economic development, sense gratification, and then exploiting each other. And finally, when you don't, it comes to a breaking point, and then there is war at the end. So every 40, 50 years, you can expect a huge, huge destruction. And then we start the whole thing again. Another economic development starts. So this is the situation, right? So he's saying here that karmam cannot be given up for an ajnani. Suppose you have transcended all these things through spiritual knowledge, then karmam doesn't matter because karmam cannot affect him anymore. He is not in the karmam. Karmam has left him. But ajnani, who is engaged in karmam, these rules must apply. That's Krishna's point. Ajnani, like everybody else in this world who are doing karmam, they are all ajnanis. Everyone who is engaged in karmam is ajnani. So ajnani must have, this is the process for him to become free. There is no other way, he says there. So, he says, if he, within where he is at that moment, he has to learn how to make it as a yoga process, karma yoga. That karma to become a karma yoga. And that is what Krishna is talking about. Yoga karma su kaushalam. Kaushalam means that skill of making one's own karma as a yoga. Yoga karma su kaushalam. Without causing any disturbances inside, able to develop this nature, right? If he does like that, Krishna says what the benefit is, right? Gradually, he says, the karmam, its vasana, karma vasana, right? His chittavritti, all that will leave him. If he does his karmam where he was put in, and if he executes that properly, in that way, that karmam, its vasana, and the chittavritti, everything will go. And he will get established, Chitta Shuddhi will come to him. And he will be more qualified at that moment for Jnana Nishtha, for knowledge, spiritual knowledge, right? And so this is the ultimate goal, to become, make a person qualified for Jnanam by purifying his karma. Purifying karma means it develops into bhakti, chitta shuddhi will come, and then this knowledge what Krishna is talking about will easily benefit him, will have its effect on him, impact on him. Otherwise it won't. It will remain like a theoretical knowledge. Like we study physics and chemistry, Bhagavad Gita will also remain like that. Bhagavad Gita's benefit won't be there. We will understand all the verses, you will know. You will know all the translation, purport, everything. But in life, it hasn't helped him. Bhagavad Gita is meant for self-realization. That won't happen. That is the disadvantage, right? So, and that is what Krishna is saying in the next verse, if you look. But prior to that, he says there, why karmam should not be given up? Kim asheshva tiktum ashakyam karma iti na tyajet. Kim va sahajasya karmanaha tyage dosho bhavadi. The reason why karmam should not be given up, is it because it is not possible to do it? Or is it harmful? Kim cha ataha. What is the necessity for discussion about it? It's a long discussion in the Bhashyam commentary. Ajari Swamiji has analyzed it in a much deeper, runs into many pages about this karmam, why it should not be given up, right? So, that's too much to go through. So, next verse, we'll look at it. Yaja karmaja siddhi ukta jnana nishta yogyada lakshanam tasyaha phalabhuda naishkarmya siddhi jnana nishta lakshana vaktavyam iti shlokam arabhyade. So from karma, how one becomes qualified for jnanam, jnana nishta, and that jnana nishta, what he gets, right? Its symptom is naishkarmya siddhi. Naishkarmya siddhi is that state when he has come to that qualified state, right? So, when by executing this varna dharmam properly, right? When the karmam, its vasana, and all the chittavritti related to that karmam goes away from him, he becomes peaceful inside, because karma vasana has gone away from him, and perfect shanti has come to him. And that shanti state, very easily he will acquire jnana, spiritual knowledge, and he has reached more or less the highest level of self-realization. He will experience the self-realization within, right? And Krishna is saying that in this next verse. He is saying, asakta buddhi sarvatra, jidalpa vigata spriha, naishkarmya siddhim parama, sanye senadi gachadi. You see, if karmam is executed properly, and if, as karma yogam, what happens at the end is, his attraction for sense gratification will leave him. And all material happiness, what he had desired in the beginning, that also goes away from him. And he will be much more self-controlled. In other words, he would have a proper control on his mind and senses, right? Apart from that, his desire for results in karma will go away. Bhoktrutvam will go away. Practically, he is qualified for sannyasam at that time. This is the proper way of ripening a person. Spiritual life is to ripen us to that stage of sannyasam at the end. Attraction for money, attraction for sense gratification goes away from inside. If he executes karma in the way Krishna has spoken, right? And similarly, attraction for family life goes away. Putradhara grihadishu. Krishna talks about that. The reason why it is not going away from us at the old age is because our karma has not been proper. That's also another impact on that. If properly karma executed, the person by that age he will be ready for sannyasam in a natural way. Because attraction for karmam has gone. No more new vasanas are created. Attraction for money has gone. Attraction for sense enjoyment has gone. And attraction for family life has gone. Practically, you will see inside a situation where he is saying here, ready for sannyasa. In a natural way, he has come to that, right? So that's why he says, asakta buddhihi, asakta sangarahidaha buddhihi, andakaranam yasya saha, asakta buddhihi, sarvatra, putra dharadishu, asati nimiteshu, he says. Asakta buddhi means, one, what he is saying is, wife and children, attraction for them, attachment to them, not leaving all the time. It's keep on, even at the last minute. And that will haunt us, even at the time of deathbed also. That's the way it is. Putra dhara grahadish. What will happen to them? What can you do about them? You can't do anything. They will go their way, you go your way. But you won't be able to come to that situation. Putra dhara grahadish. Krishna said that before also. Nityanja samajitatum ishtanishtopapatishu in the Bhagavad Gita before. The same problem he is saying here. The jidalpa jito vashikrita alma andakaranam yasya jidalpa. One who has got control on the self, he is jidalpa. And vigadaspraha trishna deha jivida bhogeshu yasmat sa vigadaspraha. That means one who has no more attachment to body, no more attachment to this life, and no more attachment to these objects of sense gratification. Right? He is called Vigadaspraha. And then what else? And also, one who does not have any desire for results from the karma. That state. Right? That means inside is cleaned up. Inside everything is clean now. Ya evam bhada atmajnaha sa naishkarmya siddhi nirgadani karmani yasmat nishkriya brahmalpa sambodhat sa nishkarma tasya bhavo naishkarmyam. He is more or less a self-realized person, Krishna is saying. Because his karma is finished. That's the first thing. That what he has taken this body to go through, that karma is over. And therefore that state is called naishkarmya siddhi. And at that time, he says, Nishkriya Brahmam, and his soul is one. And that bhavam is Naishkarmyam. Krishna is saying that, Naishkarmyam. So, from that verse, you can understand, Naishkarmyam, sannyasam is a state. Is a state it is. Right? That means a person becomes gradually matured in life, right? And ultimately, his state of consciousness has to come to that state, right? That perfection stage. There are many people like that who have matured themselves through their karma and come to that state before they left this world, right? So, Some of them were, if you observe, they were college professors, they were teaching, but incidentally they were practicing spiritual life very seriously. And when they left this world, totally peaceful state, they were able to leave the body, right? And when somebody visited them, they have said that no desires now, life has come to an end, we're happy to go in that way. Right, and no attachment anywhere. This has to happen before death comes. This attachment has to go. Otherwise, if you keep this inside, then even at the time of death, it will become a problem. If that attachment is there. Before that, we should come out of it. And that is what he is saying here. Jidalpa vigadaspraha. Asakta buddhi sarvatra, Krishna is saying. Asakta buddhi sarvatra. All sides. Asakta buddhi. No asakti anywhere. Jidalpa vigadaspraha. So all that is
he has spoken in these verses here. And so, and this is a man's success in life. For a man, this is his success, right? After living in this world for quite a long time, right? At the old age, one should be able to say this. I have no complaint against anybody or anything in this world, right? Mind is peaceful and the life has been worthwhile living. Why? Because I got this purification inside. No feeling, any attraction for anybody, attachment to anyone, no desires for sense enjoyment, and perfect feeling shanti inside. And also, as he said here, that the sense gratification has left once for all. Totally in peace with oneself. Totally in peace with oneself. And that is the state of what Krishna is calling here. This, right? No asakti anywhere. No more attachment anywhere, right? And because mind has come under control now. And therefore, no desires inside, right? Either as far as his body is concerned, or as far as life is concerned, or mind is not dragging him anymore, looking for sense gratification in the world. So, evam bodhaha, he says, such an atmajnani, such a person, he says, naishkarma siddhim paramam. Naishkarma siddhim paramam, he explains here. Naishkarmam jatat siddhim, chasa, naishkarma siddhi. Nashkarmasya vasiddhi, nishkriyalma soryuba avasthana lakshanasya siddhihi, nishpattitam nashkarma siddhim paramam, prakrishtam karmaja siddhi lakshanam, sadhyomukti avasthana rupam, sanyasena, samyak darshanena, tat purvagena va sarvakarma sanyasena adhigachari prapnodi, tathaja uktam, sarvakarmani manasa sanyasya naiva kurvanna karayen, aste, in the 5th chapter, 13th verse, where Krishna said that. Yeah. Sarvakarmani manasa sanyasya naiva kurvanna karayan. In the 5th chapter you will find, 13th verse. So this naishkarmyam bhavam, when does that come? One who is in nishta, steadiness in the atma, and the this situation, sthiti, comes to him, naishkarma siddhi. It can come through sarvakarma sanyasam. The Karma Sannyasa Yoga was discussed in that 5th chapter. And in the 13th verse, Sarva Karma Sannyasam, when does that happen? That leads into Naishkarma Siddhi, right? Purvoktena, so karma anushtanena, Ishwara Abhyarchana Rupena, Pragukta Lakshanam Siddhim Praptasya, Utpanna Atma Viveka Jnanasya, Keval Atma Jnana Anushtana Rupa, Naishkarma Lakshana Siddhi, Yena Kramena Bhavadi, Tal Vaktavam Iti Aha. So, this person, he has been doing karma in his early life, right? So through that karma, he has progressed. Karma became karma yogam. Karma yogam developed into chitta shuddhi. Chitta shuddhi developed into bhakti. Bhakti turned into knowledge. Bhakti developed into knowledge. So that is what is called naishkarma siddhi. That means through the process of karma yogam, in doing your karma, and through that karma, how you become qualified for jnana, spiritual knowledge at the end, right? And so, this purvoktena, sokarmanushtanena, ishvara abhyarcha rupena, pragukta lakshanam siddhim praptasya, ulpanna atma viveka jnanasya, keval atma jnana nishtha rupa, naishkarma lakshana siddhi, yena kramena bhavadi, tad vaktavyam iti aha. So he says that the state of that person's mind at that stage is like this, that asakti has gone. No attachment anywhere in this world. Shanti inside. And able to, as far as his own body is concerned, his own life is concerned, mind is not getting disturbed over it, and
mind is not demanding any sense gratification anymore, not asking for any more enjoyment from life. And he says here, in a person, what normally happens is, in a natural way, the knowledge of the self is coming out from him. He's not studying Shastram. He's not studying Shastram. Because of the way he lived in this world, and through practicing this process of Karma Yogam, through that into Bhakti, and ultimately, because he has reached that what we call as Naishkarma Siddhi, freedom from the karma, automatically the spiritual knowledge comes from within. Because Krishna is inside Antaryami, he is qualified for that, it comes from that source itself, from the source itself. Our problem is we are stuck in this world with karma. Karma has caught us into that trap, right? So what happens is that he realizes that he doesn't have any more karma to do in this world, right? That is his situation inside, right? And he doesn't want to get anything in this world anymore. He has become free from all these things, right? And he knows very well that he is complete. He is complete. That means he is more on the platform of the self. Body will never be complete. But when your identification with the Antaryami comes, then you feel that perfection, completeness in that, right? So, whatever it is here, he is ready to leave this body with this knowledge that he is perfect. That because body has more or less has become free from the body due to this progress he has made, right? So, through karmam, there is nothing else to achieve in this world through karma, right? Because karma people do why? Because of the different goals in that. They want to become somebody, right? And or they want to know something, or they want to give up something, nothing. He realizes that karma and me are separate. Karma is finished. I have become perfect in my life, right? The proof of that is there is shanti inside, total shanti inside, right? So Krishna is calling that state as sannyasam. That state is called sannyasam, right? So whoever has come to this state, whether he has changed the clothes outside or not, whether he has taken to, is not important. Krishna has no value for all that. Krishna is saying here, by changing color of the clothes, you won't become a sannyasi. It has to come this way. In this way, right? Sanyasam Narmalam Yanam Nadu Kashaya Mundanam, he says. Ajari Swami also says that. Nadu Kashaya Mundanam, by shaving up and by dressing up Kashayam, you won't become a sannyasi, he said. Sanyasam has to happen inside change. That has to happen. Or that is when he said Jnanam Sanyasa Lakshanam. Sanyasa Lakshanam is Jnanam. This maturity in life. That there is nothing to be in this world for me. I am leaving this world happily. Attraction for karma has gone. Vasanas have all gone from inside. Attachment gone everywhere. No desire for sense gratification. Feeling total shanti inside. And able to leave this world in that state. Right? So. So. Jnanam Sanyasa Lakshanam, right? Other things related to sannyasam, right, is all related to smriti and ajaram. That means what you follow with related to sannyasa ashram, what one should follow and all that, right? But proper sannyasa ashram, yadi dharmam, is this state of consciousness, right? You can call him samyami, one who has control over senses, and sannyasi, jivan mukta, brahmana, and all these things. So, naishkarma siddhim paramam, Krishna is saying there, means that there is no more kartrutva bhoktrutva, because he doesn't want anything from that anymore. And mind is not going after anything, right? And means mind is very shanti state, It's not moving, right? And which means, if the mind is not making any movements, it means yoga state has come, yoga avastha, right? So, full of shanti inside, peaceful, right? And mind is not enjoying, or mind is not causing any disturbances inside, right? Because there is no desires inside, right? In that way, he has reached that state of shanti, right? That is more like sadhyamukti, close to sadhyamukti, right? Not jivanmukti or videha mukti. Sadhyamukti means that here itself you are becoming qualified for liberation. Videha mukti and jivanmukti is after leaving this body. So mukti, he is already liberated. So sadhyamukti avasthana rupam, says Patanjali, right? He is liberated here itself, and mukti is the nature of the soul, and because of that, by now, he is spiritually so matured, he feels, he realizes what liberation is. He can experience it within himself, without anybody telling him what liberation is. That liberated state he is experiencing within, right? And for him, there is no more sadhana or anushtanam to be performed. Because dhyanam, anushtanam and all, you start something and you finish something, right? But this person, more or less, 24 hours, he is situated in the self. And you will see this in great personalities. For example, this is just what you read in the books and all, that Ramana Maharshi didn't change his clothes. He wore white till the end. Kovin and a dhoti, that was his dress, right? And he used to be awake all the time, even at night. He won't sleep. He'll just sit there. And some 2 o'clock in the morning, people will come to see him. 2 o'clock in the morning. Because there was a train which was stopping at Tirunavalai at that time. There were not many trains like today, in them days, right? So loads of train which starts from Chennai going towards Kerala, they go through Tirunavalai, and they will stop at Tirunavalai, and the time they arrive is around 2 o'clock in the morning. So 2 o'clock in the morning the train stops there, and few people will come to see him from the train station, right? And they, them days there is no, now we have a lot of auto rickshaws, isn't it? Mm-hmm. There is no auto rickshaw, it was all horse carts. Bullock carts and horse carts. Mostly people travel like auto rickshaws, they were using these horse carts. And they will be there, loads of horses in front of the railway station. Even in 1968, when I went to Delhi, that time also there was full of horse carts. Now there is nobody. People don't see any more in the horse carts. So you hire them and they'll take you. And so they'll come in these horse carts to see Maharshi at that time, right? When they come, he'll be sitting there, this state of sannyasam inside. Sometimes he may sleep for a few minutes here and there, right? And if the body wants it, he will sleep for a few minutes or an hour or something like that, right? And he didn't need much sleep. He didn't need much sleep. You see, why do we need so much sleep? Because if you do a lot of thinking, and similarly if you do a lot of work, that means when chittavritti is very high, it is due to that you get worn out, tired, and then you need a lot of sleep, right? So suppose you don't have much, no chittavritti inside, and you're not physically very active, the body won't demand much sleep. You won't need much sleep, right? So he will be restful. If he just sits somewhere, he is restful, right? And this, you will know it when you get old. This is how it works, right? Suppose you are retired, you are not doing much. You don't feel the need to sleep so much. Most of the time you are awake, right? And you don't have to complain, oh, I'm not getting sleep, I have to get some sleeping pills and all that. This is madness. You don't have to sleep because Only if you have a thinking a lot of chitavritti inside, various things going through your head all the time, thinking about it, and then or you are physically very active. If these two, body and mind, if they are active, then you will need sleep. Otherwise you don't need sleep. But if these stages come, naturally Krishna is saying there that if you are not getting sleep, you just sit down quietly, not do anything. Don't do anything, just sit quietly, right? And if you sit like that, what happens is, the whole nature is very quiet at night. There is a quietness, right? And that you have to experience that, that quietness of the real nature. We are so funny, we are. Morning itself jumps out of the bed like a like a piston in the cylinder. And then it starts the whole day pumping. And the evening when it's fully tired, it falls down and goes to sleep. This is our life now. The modern man's life is like that, right? But this is not Rishi's life. Rishi's life is shanti inside all the time. So, only when you experience that stillness, the quietness in the night, when you wake up and you look through the window and see how everything is quiet, that time you realize all your problem is caused by your own mind. The mind is causing all the problems, right? And when the mind is peaceful, that is when you sleep, right? Whereas when the mind is peaceful, that is when you get proper sleep, is it not? Otherwise you are in the dream state. They can stay in the dream state. But proper sleep is deep sleep, sushupti. Sushupti you get when the mind goes away. When the mind goes away. But what happens is, the deep sleep what you are getting is brought into the vacant state in the case of a person who has reached this state. That's what happens to him. That he is feeling that shandi or the absence of the mind, which normally leads a person into sushupti. But in his case now what happens? He is not tired physically, nor mentally, or everything has stopped. And therefore he doesn't need a sushupti. And he gets his shandi in the vacant state. And you will experience that in the night when you look through the window, how everything is so quiet, right? So, and that siddhi state he says here, naishkarmam, naishkarma siddhi, right? Naishkarmam, nishta. And for example, after some time, you may become totally physically disabled, right? And even in that state, for a person who has this, he will feel shanti inside. Physically you may be disabled, right? But you have to know this secret of that. How our body responds to that situation. Provided you have come out of that karma completely. That is that naishkarma siddhi. Karma is not bothering you anymore because karma has left you. All vasanas have gone and nothing is bothering you anymore. Ragadvesham has gone and mind has become so much in peace with everything. Therefore Krishna is saying that, right? So, just like if you want that shandi at that end of life, then one should know this secret, right? Why I am saying this is that you won't have complaint about anybody. I can't do anything, right? Nobody is coming to see me. These are all complaints from the older people. You will see that in the Facebook. They put all these things in the Facebook also. And when you read that, you can see why they are suffering. They brought up children. And children, after a certain age, they are flying on their own. But your attachment has not gone. And it is still in your head, are they okay or not? And you keep on haunting them. And that is bothering you then. You can't sleep because of that. So Krishna is saying here that the these complaints that they didn't come to see me. They didn't come see me. Just recently I saw one on Facebook, one old man saying he's 95, 98 years old, right? He had 5 children and all of them, they all had a happy family life, as they say. They all had it. But now they're all grown up and they're all in their 50s, 60s and all that. And he was celebrating his 99th birthday. And he got everything ready for a dinner for all children to come, but nobody came. And he's complaining about that. Is there anything more stupid than this? That means no vairagyam inside. Yeah? If you live like this in this world, what's the difference between animal and us? What have we learned from life then? Right? So this is what Shastram is teaching, Krishna is saying to us. That at a certain stage, one should be able to say goodbye to all these things. And that saying goodbye is this process, is what Krishna is talking about. Saying goodbye to this world. Age will come in life, it won't take very long. Under 10-15 years, all of us will be gone from this, or some people will be in the final stages to go. But this is what he is saying here. He says, Naishkarma Siddhim Paramam Sanyasenadi Gacchari. That sannyasam stage should come to him by that age. If not, trouble. So, So this, what he spoke in that verse is, this 49, these are all very important verses. The whole psychology of self-realization for those who are following through the karma. For jnanis it doesn't affect, because they have come out of karma. But you remember from the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita itself, they said these two ways, isn't it? Jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam. For jnana yogena sankhyanam, this is not applicable. This is for karma yogena yoginam. This is referring to them. For the four kumaras, they are the jnana margam. The prajapatis are the karma margam. So this is the prajapatis lineup. That was mentioned in the beginning itself, right? So basically, Jnana Margam and Karma Margam are the two processes spoken. Jnana Margam for those who have acquired spiritual knowledge in previous life, and in this life, they had no attraction for anything, basically. They got a body, they come here, and no attraction for this life so much. So from the early days itself, they entered into Shastram straight away, studied and practiced it and left this world. There are very few, those people who belong to that category. Majority will be in the karma margam. 99% will be in this karma margam. Karma margam. So when they come through that karma margam, this is how that they progress and come to this perfection stage. What we call as the Naishkarma Siddhi. That Naishkarma Siddhi stage comes to a person if he is properly matured throughout his grahastha ashramam, brahmachari ashramam, grahastha ashramam, vanaprastham, and finally to sannyasam. He has reached the sannyasam stage like this, that person won't have any problem. He is saying here, right? So, he won't complain that there is nobody has come for my birthday, or nobody has come to wish me, nobody sent me a card. These are all the complaints you hear. He didn't even send me a card, they say. And so it's the biggest, the whole sky is going to come down if you didn't get a card in life. So you see people complain that way, isn't it? So why is that? Because of this problem, right? So when Atmajnanam, when the knowledge of the self comes, your state of consciousness will be different, right? And that is what he calls it as sannyasam, right? So... There are many, many people like that. They were there in that state. In the olden days, that's why most of the people, once they have come to that state, they leave home. They don't have any attraction for homeland. That's how they used to go to Kashi, Vrindavanam, Haridwar and all that. In the olden days, people went like that. Because this sannyasam state has come to them before that. Yeah. So, Naishkarma Siddhim Paramam. Right. So There's a story about Muruganar was one of Ramana Maharshi's followers, right? This Muruganar used to be like this. He used to sit there and left home, came off like that, and used to sit there whole day without doing anything. And somebody came to see him and told him that, give me sannyasam, he said. Muruganar fired him heavily. He says, what is this sannyasam you're talking about? He said, right? That if you have no sankalpam inside, new sankalpam coming in, right? You should know at that time that who is having this sankalpam, and that way able to control that. And when all the sankalpam leaves, the sankalpam is the problem, right? That is Naishkarma Siddhi. Suppose you are staying quiet at home and still some desires are coming. I want this, I want that, I have to do this, I have to do that. In this way, different sankalpam keeps popping up again and again. That means that sannyasam is not there for you. Naishkarma Siddhi is not possible, right? So, but if you come to a state, you are not complaining about anything, right? And remain wherever you are, in whatever situation that is, right? And you are just doing daily life, what is required for in the daily practice, right? Daily living, surviving here, right? There is shanti there, and that is Krishna is saying here, Naishkarma Siddhim Paramam Sanye Sainati Gacchadi. And sannyasam, we must understand this, that sannyasam, nobody can give it to you. That's a misunderstanding. We always say that, I took sannyas from him. What have you taken from him? All it has happened is that he has given you a mantra to chant, sannyasa mantram or whatever that is, right? Or he has given you a new name. Or he has changed, he's given you a sannyasa dhoti. Isn't it? They give you sannyasa dhoti with that. In different sampradayams, they have different systems, right? But by doing all that, you have not become a sannyasi. You become a sannyasi in this way. Naishkarma Siddhim Paramam Sannyasanadi Gacchari. Krishna is explaining that it is not your dress, not your new name, not your shaving of the head, not the mundanam and kashayam, no. But instead, living this life and living the life based on the shastram and becoming matured fully, kalena atmani vindadi, become established in the self at the end of life, right? So, due to influence of time, that is why it requires time. And this cannot be accelerated. You know what I'm saying? It cannot be, you can't accelerate it. You have to live through that, and gradually this has to develop inside in a person. In a natural way, it has to develop within, right? It has to remain as in a bud form, and then slowly open up, becomes a flower, and then eventually it has to become the fruit, like it happens in the plant. In the same way, through brahmacharyashramam, grihastashramam, vanaprasthashramam, you should come to this situation, and that is sannyasam. That is sannyasam, right? Not by any other way. All other things are external. Krishna has not spoken about it at all. You will always notice this. Krishna doesn't talk anything about the external side. Neither in the Bhagavad Gita or in the Bhagavatam. All this ajaram, what we do, big ceremony we make and big thing we make out of it, sannyasam, right? Giving the impression that, oh, he has taken sannyas. No, he's a sannyasi. I have to offer him obeisances when I see him because he's a sannyasi. So this is coming from this institutional mindset, right? Krishna sannyasam is this, Naishkarma Siddhi. If you have reached that state in a natural way, if you have progressed and become matured inside in this way, all vasanas have gone, karma has left you, mind is totally peaceful, no more attraction for sense gratification, and not affected by anything what's going on in this world, you are more or less in that state. Yeah. So, only if it comes like this, it will stay. Right? Otherwise, what will happen is they will. When we complain, sannyasis fell down. We say, "What can you do? Person was not gone through the. You have accelerated the whole process. You have pushed the whole thing through him. And poor fellow, he wanted to have a proper householder life. You have denied him that also. So he didn't have a proper material life either. And then at the age of 75 and 80, he is going and getting married to start his householder life now. At the age of 80, he is starting his householder life, this sannyasi. So what are you supposed to say to them? So that means he hasn't understood anything from Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is saying there is a system. And this is the reason why Krishna is saying that don't rush into anything. Shane Shane Ruparamedi says, you can't jump into this and make it happen. Because it's Kali Yuga, I have to do everything in a few months' time. I'll attend this course or seminar. I'll get this certificate and that certificate. And now I should be self-realized. If you say like that, it won't happen. You may get all the certificates, hang them up. But that's not going to help. This is the difficulty in spiritual life. We are thinking that it is like a material course, like material knowledge. Attend some courses and seminars. And these sannyasis are only good for them, to teach them. They'll go and run courses, and these ones will go and attend them also. Both are equally bad. That they get misled by everything, you see, because of the mindset is like that. They haven't understood that, what that sannyasami is, right? So, that's what it is about, right? So, if he has come, progressed and matured in this way, you will see in that person the change in him, right? And sees the silence in him. Because he is in Shanti state. There is a silence in him. He is not disturbed by anything in this world, right? Vasanas have all gone from inside. All sankalpam has gone. All desires have gone. Asha. Asha has gone, right? And similarly, anymore ahangaram is not coming up all the time. Like we have ahangaravrti, it's called. I've done this, I've done that. That kind of thoughts won't come, right? And proper shanti has come, which means that, and when all the desires and trishna, desires goes away, it is like a free space inside, right? And that is what he is saying, that nirvanam, naishkarma siddhim paramam, sanyasanadi gacchati, right? And that state is what they call it as nirvana padam. In another places you will see that nirvanam spoken. Nirvanam, Buddhist calls it as nirvanam. Nirvanam is that state when you come to this state of state of consciousness or mind, whatever we say, right? So, so what is Krishna saying in all these things? He is saying that we have a prakriti, isn't it? A nature, swabhavam in us. How to become free from that swabhavam? That is this process is about. How to become free? Swabhavam is our main problem. You remember Krishna says in the Ekadasham also. Swabhavam, yeah. Swabhavam is difficult to overcome, he's saying. Is it not? Swabhava vijayam shauryam, he says. Swabhava vijayam shauryam. If you can become free from your swabhavam, that means you are a hero, Krishna says. You are a hero then. And that is what Krishna is talking about here. How to become free from the swabhavam. And many people will have difficulty in understanding this. Right? You know, because most of the people, they see spiritual life in a different way. Very external thing. Right? Whereas in Vedic literature, spiritual life is a very internal thing. The changes has to happen within. Right? So, in that 48th verse, he says, Sahajam karma kaunteya sadosham api natyajed. Natyajed, he said, right? Swabhava means prakriti. In our prakriti, you may find a lot of defects. In our own prakriti, we know in our prakriti there is defects, right? And it could be, we could have problems because of that. Some people say, I get angry very quickly. And some people say, I become very lusty. Or some people say, I become very greedy. All these kind of problems, kamam, krotham, lobham, moham, desires, moham comes. Some people, you can observe, when they see something, I would like to have that, he says. They'll straight away say like that. Without any shame, they will say that. Yeah. When they see something nice, I won't have one of that, they'll say like that. So, without further thinking, that it comes out from them. Before they could say anything, it has already come out. And you start looking at them, why do you need that? There's no further thinking, right? That is swabhava. Swabhava will come out. And these are problems. Everybody has different ways. Some people get angry very quickly. And somebody honks a horn from the back. Immediately you get, look at him like this, right? And you know how it is in the car. They'll show the two fingers and all that. When you drive on the motorway. All things, kind of things. Swabhava jayana kaunteya. That is, anger comes so quickly. You get upset, right? So, that's what. So, it is not easy to come out of that swabhava. That's the prakriti in us, right? So, actually, what is prakriti means? Prakriti means everything what I am not is prakriti. In reality, all of us have nothing to do with all these things. This is our prakriti, it is. So, simple terms, if you say prakriti means everything what I am not, right? So, in Sankhyam, they call it Prakriti and Purusha. Prakriti and Purusha, right? Vedantam, they will say Analpa and Atma. That's the way Vedantam, same thing. Prakriti and Purusha in Sankhyam, and Vedantam it is Analpa and Atma, right? And that's all. That means, everything what I think it is mine is Prakriti. Is Prakriti. That is my Prakriti. I think it is mine. Anger, for example, I react quickly to somebody say something. I react very fast. That's my prakriti. And similarly, other things also. In our deal, envy, for example, quickly becoming envious of something. Pride in the same way. Some people are very proud about what they have done and achieved in life. And they will try to deliver it to everybody that this has happened in their life. So different people have different kind of nature like that, right? So, but to come to this stage, prakriti is doing everything. That prakriti is doing everything, right? And I am not doing anything. That is knowledge. Remember Krishna's prakriti kriyamanani, that verse, right? Prakriti kriyamanani, gunai karmani sarvasha, ahangara vimodhalma, kartaham yajimanyade. So, proper knowledge is this. Ahangara vimodhalma kartahanirmanyade. One who realizes this, that is knowledge, right? So, suppose, if all the all living entities in this world, right? If they are situated in their original state, in what they are born with, right? Then so much pravritti won't be there, activities, right? And that means that living entity has to do the karma what is necessary for that living entity only. He does not have to be so concerned about, unlike today, we are concerned about the whole world, aren't we? Why has it happened in this way? Because in the name of some or the other, we don't understand spiritual life, and people are not involved in spiritual life anymore. So therefore, there is no knowledge also. Everything is based on the body. So in the form of nations, this national concept is a new thing. It didn't exist before, is it not? Now we have made boundaries everywhere and everyone identifies with one country or the other and think in that way. So, but when we have become implicated like the way we are now, what happens is this prakriti is more difficult to overcome. To transcend the prakriti is more difficult. When you are entangled in the way we are now, It becomes more difficult. So what Krishna is saying is, it's easier when everybody minds their business and live in their place. It makes a lot easier. But when you start thinking that you have to develop everywhere in the world, all the people in the world, you have to make them, their economic development is really important for you. Whole world is running on these ideas, is it not? Everybody is thinking that we have to become like America. And America is thinking everybody should be under their control all the time. So this way, where is this going to end? Krishna is saying, because of all these things, the way we are doing things now, it has become very difficult to overcome your prakriti. Prakriti becomes very difficult, right? So therefore, Krishna is saying, there will be dosham, problems will be there. So therefore he is saying, sadosham api na tyajet. Because of this interaction between the countries, between the people, society, all over, karmam also changes its nature. And therefore in karmam you will have a lot of problems. And therefore the dosham from coming from the karmam will be very difficult. But it should not be given up, he is saying. And how to deal with this prakriti, because of the lack of knowledge, he has got problems and others have also got problems. Suppose I have a problem and I don't know how to control my anger. Because of that I have got problem. And then because of me I give problem to others as well. This is the difficulty. This is the problem. Right? So how karmam, prakriti, has come through the karmam, and through that karma I create problem for everybody else, right? So, and that knowledge is not easy, how to come through that, right? The saying here that a poisonous snake will always bite. It will always bite, right? Similarly, we also, when we have all this prakriti in us, we will bite each other and it will give trouble to others, right? So, from everybody you will get something good, but at the same time, a lot of bad things also will come from us. I may do good things to others, but I'll also give some bad things, trouble to others, right? So that is what is called samsara. Samsara means this. Different people with their prakriti and with their swabhava acting in this world, and due to their activities, something good will come and a lot of bad things also will come from that, right? So what Krishna is saying is that in karmam, it's not always everything will be good. It will be good and there will be bad as well. No matter how well you have done your karmam. Karmam, this is the problem with karmam. Any karmam you do, there will be something bad from that come out. No karmam is 100% good. This principle you have to accept. You can look into the history, you will see this. You see, now there is a debate going on about Gurukulam, right? Was it a good thing? Because a lot of abuse happened there. The intention was good, to teach them Shastram and to bring them up, train them up in the proper brahmachari life and all that. What happened at the end? A lot of abuse happened, child abuse happened. And those children who got abused, they are coming out with this, that this whole Gurukulam principle itself is not the right one. It doesn't work, right? So, and this happened even when Prabhupada was living here. These abuses have happened. And that's when they shifted it from Dallas to Vrindavanam, the Gurukulam, because it was happening in Dallas. And so these kind of things, even it is done with good intention, karmam is like that. Anything you do in karmam, karmam's very nature is, lot of good things will come, lot of bad things will also come out of it. Lot of bad things will also come out of it. And same thing, any spiritual movements and all has, if you look at it carefully, you will see, they've done a lot of good things, but there's a lot of bad things also would have happened with that. It's unavoidable. It's the very nature. For example, when we had, the time of independence, so many years they were all struggling for independence, right? Big, big personalities like Mahatma Gandhi and Jawaharlal Nehru, Sardar Patel, and also the Gopal Krishna Gokhale, Bal Gangadhar Tilak, everybody, they all struggled very hard and mobilized the whole public because they didn't have the capacity to fight with weapons with the empire at that time. and they chose this route of non-violence and all that. But ultimately, they got the independence, but then the partition happened. And partition happened means what? It was the greatest tragedy in life. So much slaughter happened after that, both sides, either side. So you can see karmam, with all that effort of this independence, they couldn't celebrate it in the proper way because of all the partition happened, and it is still not gone. It's still, that problem is still haunting. So you can see where is the end to it? Where is the end of this, right? So karmam's nature is like that. You can never say that something I have done perfect. Any karmam you do, family life you take, you will have children, wife, children, everything. Children won't come out the way you wanted them to be in life. They have their prarabdham to come, but that's the way it is. And they will go in their own way. You won't have any control over that. And you're thinking whole life about them and worrying, thinking that what will happen, what will happen. What will happen? Nothing will happen. They will go their way and you will go your way. So karmam, the very nature, you entered into family life thinking that you will have a nice wife, you will have nice children, and they will all be happy together and all that. But all that thing breaks down at the end. It doesn't work like that. Because that's the nature of karmam. Karmam is like that. Same thing, you look into your profession also. You worked very hard for the company. One day company closes down and goes. They say, we have shifted everything to China, they say. The whole plant is moved from here. And then you were very loyal to the company, thinking that I have worked very hard, I did everything for the company, and the management was very happy with me. And one morning when you come, somebody else has made the decision that it is not profitable to run the company here anymore because it's too expensive. We got cheap labor in China, let it go there, the whole thing, they shifted. They didn't care anything about what you had done for the company. Who cares about anything? So that is the nature of karma. Karma means like that. Anything you take, you will find it's not perfect. Whatever you try to do, that karma will not come out perfectly, right? So that's what he is saying here. So that is why Krishna is saying, sadosham abhinatyajet. Because of that, this is only to make us aware, this is the nature of karma. And to come out of karma in one day. When you become, that's how vairagyam comes inside. It's all useless at the end. That comes to that. So, we'll discuss that tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
All glory to Srila Prabhupada.